Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 60, Hyper Fighting. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
Yeah, Hyper Fighting.
And we are back this week to talk about Nintendo, but this is kind of going to be a special episode. We are going to be dedicating the entire episode to the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, which celebrates its 25th anniversary in North America this month.
How many years? 25?
25, that's right. This is what? Is that what they call the silver anniversary?
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, so 25 years, just about. So what we're going to do is, instead of doing our regular structure with the news and then our big topic, our entire big topic this week is going to be the top 25 Super NES games of all time, part one. It's so big, we're going to have to break it into two episodes. We're going to do part one this week and part two next week.
This is an intimidating list to have to come up with, by the way, Chris. I was intimidated. And also, 25 games is a lot of games. And when you think back to how many games you actually owned as a kid, I mean, honestly, and of course now it's easy to own a bunch of these on Virtual Console, but
yep, that's I might have owned for $8 a pop.
I want to say I might have owned 10 SNES games. Maybe I own 12 SNES games. I'll have to go through this list and see which ones of these I actually own, but I think I own about 12 of them. Now, you rich kids out there probably had way more than I did, but yeah, I had 12. They were expensive. They were like $50, $60 a pop. Some of them were even more.
At least $50. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, totally.
And that was then money, so that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just very happy to have one game. And we played the heck out of these games. So it wasn't like you spend $3 on the Virtual Console store and then, you know, I'll play it for an hour and I'll never play that again. When we had a game, we
play again.
You are sick of it. and if it's impossible, you play it until you literally can't get any further, no matter what, without resorting to
you're going to make it possible.
You know, Game Genie stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, at any rate, we've put together our individual lists of the top 25, and there's a lot of good stuff on Super Nintendo. As we've talked about on previous episodes, I think we've both said it's essentially our favorite Nintendo console ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just tons of stuff to talk about. So, you know, let's not waste any more time. Let's just get right into this continued Super NES chatter.
All right.
Before we get into the list proper, Scott, you know, we did a Super NES episode about a year ago before you were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my co-host, Chris Slay, at the time, we talked about how we first got introduced to the system and what our initial thoughts were. But of course, you weren't able to talk about that. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your first impressions and your introduction to the Super NES.
I think probably the same way you guys was through Nintendo Power, looking at just drooling over screenshots of Super Mario World and what the console was capable of showing.
Mm-hmm.
Things like, you know, things that you wouldn't think kids cared about, but we cared. showing the transparency effects in Nintendo Power, things like the rotation and scaling, what they call the Z mode, right? And then
the mode 7.
Mode 7, that's right. What's Z? What the heck is Z mode? I'm I am not fit to be on this podcast.
Are you drunk again?
Mode 7. I'm not drinking, I promise. So mode 7 with the scaling and the rotation. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how there were so many more channels for music. So, you know.
Way more colors on the screen as well.
And way more colors. And so they got really technical with those early articles introducing you to the system and kind of selling to you. Why do you want this? And obviously Super Mario World was the main draw for me. I was just sold on the game just from those screenshots. It looked like a cartoon to me in those screenshots. So, and to be able to play what looked like just a candy-colored cartoon, that's for a kid who is really... I've bought games based just on their graphics. Games like Bubsy.
Oh, sure. We all have.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't buy Bubsy, though.
I bought Bubsy. I was like, oh, my gosh, look at those graphics.
That's one of your 10 games?
Oh, yikes. No way. I did not put Bubsy on my list.
I was making fun of... You said you only owned like 10 games, so I was making fun of... Oh, that's one of the 10 games.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yes, so. It was. And some of the best games ever I did not own. So, yeah, we'll figure that out when we get through the list here.
Now, did you get your Super NES right at launch?
Good question. Ooh. No, I don't think I did own it at launch. I got it. I think I got it for Christmas of that year. So I did not have it at launch.
Yeah, that's when I got it also.
So I was very sad that I didn't have it at launch. I think it probably launched sometime in the summer, I want to say.
Well, we are at the 25-year anniversary. So yes, it came out in August.
Oh, it did. There we go. There we go.
August of 91, late August.
Yep, my memory serves. I remember the pizza place in the mall was doing a promotion where you could win a free one. And I had basically put all my hopes and dreams on winning a free SNES from this pizza place promotion. Of course,
probably enter that as many times as you could.
Yeah, that's right. I ate a lot of pizza.
Well, why don't we start with that list of games then? You want to kick it off or should I?
No, you go first. Go ahead.
All right, then. I will start with my number 25 all-time Super NES game. At least that's what I'm saying today. You don't know what I might say tomorrow. This one might move up the list, might move down the list. Things are subject to change. But for today, I'm saying number 25 is Super Star Wars.
Okay, Super Star Wars.
Oh my gosh, are you laughing at Super Star Wars?
I am, only because we played through this game in a sitting.
We did. We sat down
back
at work.
At the old office. We sat down at work one day after hours, and I watched you play through the whole game. And
it was
honestly watching you play that game was an eye opener. You know, you knew all the tricks, you knew all the ways to get through the game, and you didn't have any trouble finishing the game right there in that sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very impressive because I think, you know, if I had the controls, I would have failed miserably. You knew exactly where to go.
It is a bit of an acquired taste. Yeah, you do have to get some practice in.
And I think what was really made it fun for me was you kept talking about, you know, obviously a lot of the stuff in the game is not anywhere in the movies. And I think that's the kitschy, silly factor of that. I can't believe they made a movie game where they just had totally threw out the story and the characters and said, we're going to make our own thing up with the robots and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Well, that's not quite true. And that's what I really like about it, is that on the one hand, when it came out, and maybe even to this day, I feel like it's the most authentic Star Wars video game ever made, because it starts out with the battle in space. You don't get to play. You see it unfold in a cinematic. Then you're on Tatooine with Luke, and you go to all of the major places. You drive the land speeder, and you go to the sand crawler, and then you go to Mos Eisley, and then you fly off in the Falcon. You go to the Death Star. You have lots of adventures in the Death Star. You shut down the tractor beam. Then you escape the Death Star. Mm-hmm. And then you have the battle with the X-Wings. You go into the trench, and everything is there. All that stuff is there. And before that, you know, things were just, you know, really ridiculous. It didn't really feel like the movie.
Yeah.
You know, there was, you know, that famous Japanese NES game where Darth Vader transforms into a scorpion and stuff like that. But then on the other hand, they did have to embellish a bit to make it work as an action-oriented video game. So, you know, you're on this level with your land speeder, and it's like, to move on to the next level, you have to kill 20 Jawas.
For the poor Jawas. And that giant sand crawler that you have to,
you have to climb up the top of it. You have to go inside. You have to fight a giant monster in a pit of molten metal and rescue R2-D2. So everything is embellished and stretched to make it more video gamey. And it's, you know, hilarious that, Luke pretty much wipes out the entire population of Tusken Raiders and Jawas on Tatooine, and no wonder that's it runs in his family, I guess.
So this game was recently re-released on the PlayStation, right?
Yeah, that's true. It was recently released on PlayStation. It is also on Wii Virtual Console, the regular Wii Virtual Console, but it's not on Wii U and it's not on 3DS.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess I should just summarize by saying, in addition to I think being a great recreation of the movie, The visuals, I thought, at the time looked fantastic. The audio was really good. Mm-hmm. The music just sounds beautiful. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's like, oh man, it's like, you know, a real John Williams orchestra coming out of the Super Nintendo. And, you know, even though there are some control quirks that I think people might need to get the hang of, I just always had a blast playing it. They never really bothered me. They, always, I worked with the controls instead of struggling against them, so I always had a great time with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoy that one, I'm glad that it is back in some form today, even if it's not on the latest Nintendo system. So that's my number 25. What's yours?
All right. I'm pulling up this list because when you make a list of 25 SNES games, you start getting a little bottom of the barrel, because There wasn't.
Speak for yourself.
All right. Well, a lot of people may have this higher on their list, but Out of This World, the game Out of This World, kind of like the rotoscoped, kind of like Prince of Persia.
Really amazing animation.
Really beautiful. It doesn't have a ton of replayability, and it's very frustrating because it's like, oh, you know, you have to do all the moves in a certain order, and it's very punishing. If you don't realize a thing is going to kill you, it just kills you, and then you have to go back to the checkpoint and reapproach that thing that killed you in a different way, like the dog or the Venus flytrap that eats you or the laser beam that zaps you or the door that kills you. So, or
yeah,
the fall.
It's definitely one of those trial and error type of
yeah,
games.
It's very much like Dragon's Lair in that way. But the graphics are really amazing. It almost looks like Star Fox 3D style.
Huh.
It's a cool game. If you've never played it, it's on iOS, actually. And also, they remastered it recently. Outside of North America, it was called Another World. And in
that's
North
right.
America, it was called Out of This World. So that's why I called it Out of This World. So Another World, if you look for it on the Wii U eShop, it's there in a remastered form. And you can also play it in its original form the same way. And I think it's on the 3DS eShop, too, as a title. It is.
Hmm. Yeah, not there on Virtual Console, but it's cool. You can play it in some form on current systems.
Yep.
It's nice. Moving on to number 24, then, for me, it is Illusion of Gaia.
Oh, yeah. I've skipped a lot of RPGs in my time on the SNES, so I have a feeling your list is going to have a bunch of RPGs I don't have.
Probably, but this one wasn't actually an RPG. This was an action-adventure game, more like The Legend of Zelda. And more specifically, it was a sequel of sorts to Soul Blazer, which I suppose I would also say is a lot like The Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a real-time action-adventure game. You do level up and gain new skills, but you're exploring. You're playing as this kid named Will who has these psychic powers, and I think he bashes enemies in with a flute. So it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit quirky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a different premise than your usual fantasy action-adventure game. It has a very unique sort of melancholy feel to it that sets it apart from a lot of other games. Plus, it has some of my favorite writing on the system. I mean, the gameplay is great. I love, you know, just the feel of fighting enemies. I love the fact that you later learn to turn into this, more buffed up warrior, enter into this, shadowy flame character that, you know, they each have different powers and abilities. And all that stuff is great. But I think my favorite thing about it is the dialogue. There's one part early on where one of the characters says, oh, you know, the way we escaped the bad guys was because we destroyed their digestion with a poisoned marsupial pie.
That sounds like it was lost in translation.
I don't know. I think it was just a brilliant translation job. I mean, they already are talking about Grandma Lola's famous snail pie with whipped cream. So there's some sort of, you know, weird pie thing going on in this game. Then there's another part where you find a delicious roast leg of yak as well. So, I don't know. Someone was happy with the food gags, and it certainly brought my enjoyment to the game. So, I very much approve. But yeah, it's a great one. It's unfortunately not on Virtual Console in any way. It was originally made by Quintet and Enix, and Nintendo published it. But yeah, it seems like it's kind of been lost to time. Anyway, let's move on to your number 24.
All right. I have The Lost Vikings,
which
is from Blizzard Entertainment.
Back in the day.
Yeah, so this is a puzzle platformer, far more puzzle than platformer, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of what it reminds me of.
Yeah, it's a character-driven puzzle game.
Yeah, each of the three Vikings has a different ability. And
that's right.
It's a lot of like, oh, move these two Vikings over here, and then I use this
other
Viking
to
climb over here. Exactly.
Yeah, he used the one guy who has a shield, and he would block some projectiles, and then he can make another guy go climb somewhere to do something else.
That's right.
Yeah, it was definitely a thinking person's game.
It was. I came to this one very late in the game. When I, dusted off my SNES ages, not too long ago, maybe, I don't know, couple years ago when I modded it for RGB output. And then I started connecting with some games that I was aware of, never played. So Lost Vikings was one of them, and I liked it. It's there's really nothing else like it, I think, on the system.
And except for Lost Vikings 2.
that's correct. You got me there, Chris Hoffman. And the Lost Vikings are now these beloved characters that I guess we did say this or didn't, but the you control each of the Vikings separately. So you run down the hall with one Viking, and then you exactly hit the I think select button or the right shoulder button or something and switch to the next Viking. So yeah, you cycle through the three and then you control them each individually. They're now these beloved characters. They're part of Blizzard's Heroes of the Storm. They're a playable character and they're really funny and fun. So Lost Vikings, and the graphics are really nice. They're decent. They're not the best on the system, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun game. This one isn't on my list, and neither is another Blizzard game I'm very fond of, Rock and Roll Racing. But Rock and Roll Racing, it almost made the cut, and that one actually has Olaf, one of the Lost Vikings, as a hidden playable character in that game.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Blizzard made some really fun stuff back in the day.
And didn't they copied a bunch of rock songs for that, didn't they, even though they didn't have permission?
Oh, no, they were all officially licensed.
Oh, they were licensed, okay.
Yeah, it had six excellent classic, I think, you know, probably 70s era rock music. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. This was almost made on as number 25 on my list in place of Super Star Wars. Just this isometric style racing game with these crazy characters and weapons, and like it had the Peter Gunn theme. And you know, what other songs were in there, you know, stuff from Black Sabbath. Yeah, that was excellent. But it's not on my list, so I'm going to move on instead to my number 23 game, which is Super Mario All-Stars.
Oh, all right.
And you might be thinking, why is Super Mario All-Stars so low on your list? This is like, you know, some of the greatest games ever made. You could take Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, or 3 and make a strong argument for these being like the best games ever made. How can you put all these together along with the original Mario 2, the Lost Levels as it's called here, and it's only 23 on your list? And I guess my answer is just that, yes, as great as they are, it was a re-release. I think putting it up higher is kind of cheating. It wasn't a Super NES original, so to speak. But despite all that, yeah, it's amazing. It's like a history lesson in awesome gaming. Four fantastic games look better than ever, sound better than ever. It's an absolute must-have. There's really nothing new I can say about Mario All-Stars. So I think we can just move on to your number 23, unless you have anything else you want to add about it.
No, not really. I honestly come to like the originals more than those, Super Mario All-Star
Understandable.
Version. So I'm a take it or leave it kind of guy with that game. I'd prefer to play the originals, but I don't like the updated graphics. Maybe I'm an old man.
Well, I can certainly understand that position. But what is your number 23 in that case?
Kirby's Dream Land 3, which, I mean, I almost didn't put this on my list. I know I felt like it deserved better than, 25 or 24. So it's at 23. It's your typical Kirby game, really, on the SNES, and the graphics are good. This one had interesting play mechanic where you could summon a little blob of goo to help fight with you, and his name was Gooey.
I do not remember
the
this.
The CPU could control him and help you, or somebody on the second controller could control him. So I think this was this kind of like the first version of like asymmetric gameplay that on a Nintendo system. Correct me if I'm wrong, folks out there, but yeah, Kirby's Dream Land 3, and it, you know, all the usual trappings of a Kirby game. You swallow the guy with the sword and you get to fight with the sword. You swallow the sparky guy and you spark. You know, you swallow the guy with the parasol and you parasol. I should probably know these people's names, but you know. King Dedede, Meta Knight, they're all there. It's cute. It's innocuous. I don't know. It's super it's relatively easy. Not super easy, but, you know, you probably defeat it in a sitting or two.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I kind of missed out on the Kirby games personally when it came to the Super NES. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to have you sitting here to be able to tell me how good they are and what I missed out
on.
Yeah,
I definitely missed this one the first time around. I did not play this as a kid. I was in high school at the time, and honestly, I don't think you could have convinced me to play a Kirby game in high school. So I was more interested in going to the arcade and playing, you know, arcade
World
games.
Combat,
but of course
I
was playing Zelda and Mario games, but Kirby, not so much. I'm not a huge Kirby fan.
Well, speaking of fun 16-bit platformers, my number 22 game is Donkey Kong Country.
All right. A lot of people may say, why so low on your list, Chris Hoffman?
I suppose they might, but I think a lot of people might say, why so high on the list? Because
oh,
I know
no.
a lot of people who
yeah.
give this game a lot of flack.
Yeah.
And I think we mentioned it a week or two ago where I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, that series was never good back in the 16-bit days. But I always thought it was a really, really fun, solid platformer. And I would just love to get into the rhythm that you would feel when you would just learn to, you know, like bounce off one guy's head, mm-hmm. bounce on another guy's head, bounce onto a crate, you know, land on your rhino. Ride your rhino through an area, smash through a wall, you know, jump onto a vine, swing from the vine, go into another barrel, launch through the air between a swarm of bees. And I don't think you did all that stuff in any one level,
yeah.
all that much
yeah.
stuff. But it felt really fun when you knew what you were doing, when you got into this rhythm, and you could just, you know, go through the levels like that without hesitation or anything. Everything felt really well placed. The mm-hmm. level design, I just thought, was kind of brilliant, kind of impeccable. Possibly, arguably perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, the game was just revolutionary for its time. It had the pre-rendered graphics
yep.
that really sparked new life out of the Super NES. So from a historical perspective, I think it deserves a place on the list as well. But also, I do believe the original as a platformer was great. The ones after that, the second and third game,
mm-hmm.
because they had such lame main characters, I was just never able to get into as much.
Okay.
But I certainly think that Donkey Kong Country deserves a place on the list.
So Dixie Kong is lame? Hey, I didn't say it. You did.
I like Dixie Kong.
Okay.
But having her and Diddy and not Donkey Kong, that felt like something was missing. And then when it was just Dixie and Kitty Kong, that was terrible. That was no good.
Man. What was Grandpa Kong's name?
You mean
Cranky Kong?
The one who canonically is the original Donkey Kong.
Oh, that's right. I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
weird.
I don't know. They might have retconned that
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think they did.
But
they
certainly
must have.
All the official stuff said it was true back then, and I'm sticking to that story as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, no. All right. My biggest gripe now with Donkey Kong Country is when you play it in pixel perfect, when you play
I know what you're saying.
As a pixel perfect game, it
yeah, those
looks
pre-rendered visuals
bad.
Do not
doesn't
stand
hold
up.
Doesn't
on
hold up.
Current technology. It only looks good on old CRT
that's
where
correct.
It blends those pixels.
So, unless you're
yeah.
playing it on a CRT like I am, this game doesn't look as good as we all thought it did back in the day. Of course, it looks great
true.
When you squint your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, just take off your glasses, you'll be fine.
Don't look so hot. But I think the gameplay holds up, but yeah, it's not high on my list either.
All right. Well, what is your number 22 game then?
Super Mario All-Stars. I didn't put this one high up on my list either. And I like it. I appreciate it for what it is, which is a 90s radicalized version of the Mario games. I think
that's a prettier version of some great games.
Okay. A prettier version.
And you rated it higher than I did.
I don't think they're that pretty, but
I do think that was going to make your list after what you were saying when I mentioned it.
Well,
so.
I mean, you give me all
it's
the
a pleasant surprise.
All those Mario games in one package.
Yeah.
I ain't going to complain, especially
that's
at that
right.
price. And it was
irresistible.
Was it literally the first collection of it was like the first repack that Nintendo did, I think. I don't know. Somebody tell me on Twitter if I'm wrong.
I'm not sure, but you're probably right about that. Mm-hmm. It was the first time we'd seen that with Nintendo products. I mean, I guess there was like a Donkey Kong Classics game on NES, but I don't think those were enhanced in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, this was probably the first time. Okay, well, then I will jump on to my number 21, which is The Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse.
Oh, all right. Tell me about it. I've seen this.
Have you ever played this one?
No, I've seen it. It was either a speed run or a playthrough, but I've seen it played. And yeah, it looks really nice. I know there was a Genesis Mickey game called Castle of Illusion, and I think I've seen that game. I haven't played it, but I think that arguably looks better than this Mickey game. So sell me on it.
Well, there is Castle of Illusion on Genesis, and that's a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. I love that game. Mm-hmm. But then there's also Magical Quest on the Super NES, and it is another fantastic game. And it's by Capcom, so it looks great. It plays smoothly. It has, you know, it's a basic platformer at heart. I mean, it's a Mickey Mouse game. It is obviously aimed at kids. Mm-hmm. And the basic play mechanics are just, you know, jumping on guys and being able to grab blocks or grab stunned enemies and then throw them. It's a simple gameplay hook, but it's a lot of fun. But then after that, you get to change into these different costumes. So you can turn into a firefighter, and then you can spray water to put out flames and use it as a weapon against your enemies. And you can also switch into like a mountaineering costume. So you have a grappling hook, and then the game is sort of kind of like Bionic Commando in some ways, mm-hmm. where you're grappling your way through the levels. And, you know, it's not the hardest game out there, but it works really, really well. It looks beautiful. The music is great. Mm-hmm. The different costumes are a lot of fun. And the play mechanics are, simple, but deep enough to be very fun. So I would give this one a very high recommendation. I mean, Capcom was doing great back then. All their stuff was good. And they had that Disney license. They made a lot of great games with it, you know, just like they did with DuckTales on the NES. So, yeah, I think it's fantastic.
What's better, Castle of Illusion or this Mickey Mouse game?
Oh, man, that's really hard to say. I think I'm going to go with Castle of Illusion, but they're both really good.
Okay.
What's your number 21?
Donkey Kong Country, the OG. I didn't put any of the other Donkey Kong Countries on my list. I felt like this one is the first, and it deserves its place. By the way,
I feel like you're giving me a hard time when I put this on my list, man.
I definitely feel like it deserves to be up there, at least for the historical value that it has. I know that we're not ranking these based on their historical value. Maybe I ranked it this high because I really do love the Wii and Wii U Donkey Kong Country games. They are the ultimate platformers, fans platformer, to be honest. I think they're just loads of fun. Tropical Freeze is a great game. I highly recommend that one.
Well, I certainly think that this one does hold up pretty well. Like you were saying before about the graphics, there is that issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, I really like this one.
Yeah.
I think it deserves its place on the list, so you'll get no argument from
me.
And
I don't
there.
Like the character designs either. I hate those dumb alligators. They're so stupid looking anyway. And the giant
As I mentioned
and,
a couple weeks ago, King K. Rool, no, he's kind of the worst. Okay, well, moving on to number 20 then. My pick is Konami's Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah. This is another one I saw you play. it's a Christmas game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie Batman Returns is set at Christmas time. Okay. So yes, in that regard, it is a Christmas game. And actually, I think I wrote an article once claiming it to be one of my, you know, top six Christmas-themed games of all time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's based on the movie. You are Michael Keaton as Batman. And you are fighting the Penguin, Danny DeVito. And it's just a really, really fun, really well-made beat-em-up. I mean, it's kind of funny that I have this game and Magical Quest, and, you know, there'll be a few other games on my list that are licensed games. Licensed games get a really bad rap. You know, they have an awful reputation. But there are some that are really, really good, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. It's just so polished as a beat-em-up. I love beat-em-ups when they're done well, and this is one totally done well. I just love all the little intricate things you can do. Like, one thing you can do is you can grab bad guys and you can throw them into the scenery in the background. Mm-hmm. It'll, you know, cause windows to break, or you'll smash benches. Just great little animation details. You have this batarang you can throw at any time. You have unlimited batarangs. You can throw them at enemies. They're kind of useless. They do, like, no damage. They have stun enemies for a second. And you might think, well, that's kind of dumb. But you can use it in these special circumstances where it's awesome. Like, there's this one enemy. If you remember the movie, the bad guys are all, like, you know, circus freaks. There's clowns and, you know, stuff of that nature. So one of the enemies in the game is a sword swallower. And just as sort of a random idle animation, he'll swallow his sword. Then he'll take it out and start fighting again. Mm-hmm. If you throw the batarang right when he's swallowing his sword and hit him with it, it'll basically kill him instantly. Because, kids, don't let Batman hit you with a batarang while you're swallowing a sword. Let that be a lesson to you that you learned from your Super NES and your friends at Konami. But yeah, it was also just a fantastic port. It had everything from the movie. You know, like I said, all these little intricate things they totally didn't need to do, but it really went the extra mile. And, plus you can grab two enemies at once. You know, every good beat 'em up worth its salt, you can grab enemies and do grapple attacks. Mm-hmm. This, you can grab two enemies at once, knock their heads together. It's like the most satisfying thing I've ever encountered in a game. It's fantastic.
Well, I had a lot of fun watching you play this as well. I think what I've learned so far is that I like watching you play video games. You're just very good at the games you like. And that I can't say that for a lot of people. And honestly, I can't even say that about myself. And so I really, you know, when Chris says he likes a game, it means he's played it a lot.
Especially on the Super NES. Yeah. I tend not to buy games for the Super NES unless I knew I was going to play them over and over and over again. So what's your number 20?
Super Ghouls and Ghosts. This is a sequel to Ghosts and Goblins on the NES. And there was a game after that that's in this.
Well, yeah, there was Ghouls and Ghosts.
Ghouls and Ghosts. I never played Ghouls and Ghosts.
Oh, man. Personally, I think that's the best one.
Really?
That came out on Genesis in the arcades, and it's on a Wii Virtual Console, in fact.
As a Genesis game.
Yes.
I wasn't a Genesis kid, so I missed out on that one.
But Super Ghouls and Ghosts is certainly a worthy game as well.
Yeah, it's great. If you liked Ghosts and Goblins, it feels like Ghosts and Goblins with updated graphics, with a few changes. Obviously, the graphics are brilliant.
Hey, it's so much better.
They're beautiful.
It's a huge step up.
Yeah, it is. And it looks just like the arcade. It looks like an arcade game as you're playing this, and I can't say that
I'm pretty
for a
sure
lot.
This was a Super NES original. There was no arcade version.
If there wasn't, there should have been, because dang, this game looks awesome. I guess with game mechanics, it feels as, you know, you collect the different weapon power-ups. You have to do the same thing, which is in Ghosts and Goblins, you have to beat the game twice to get the real ending.
Yes.
This one tortured you with the same thing, except they spelled congratulations right, possibly.
Oh, my.
I know they spelled congratulation on the first game.
In the original? Yeah. Congratulations. The story is happy end.
That's right.
But man, this was a really hard game.
This was a really hard game.
I beat Ghosts and Goblins. I beat Ghouls and Ghosts, but I have never done Super Ghouls and Ghosts with the complete two playthroughs like
that. I have never. No, I haven't beaten it the first way through. The first level is a challenge.
This is true. There is
one mechanic that makes the game a little easier. You have a double jump, but
that's right.
But Arthur isn't like Mario. You can't like switch directions in midair. You have to, you know, once
you
jump
when you do the double jump.
Yes, that's right. But you
so you
once,
can like
but,
leap forward then
once
leap back
committed
you
to the
to,
jump.
Yeah, it's really tricky.
Yeah, once you commit to the jump, you're jumping.
Yep.
And very much like Ghosts and Goblins. The double jump is useful, but also maybe not even an advantage because it's still nails hard.
It's tricky to learn.
It's nails hard. Yeah. It's a hard game. It's a lot of there's RNG, which means, you know, the ghouls and stuff pop up randomly. So you can't even like, that ghoul's not, you know, kind of pop up through the ground the next playthrough. And you'll jump, and then something as you're coming down from your jump will kill you. And that's kind
that
of unfortunate.
Happens so many times.
Yeah, it's a little unfair. It's a little frustrating. Nintendo hard. I think this is one of those games that gets Nintendo hard.
It's a really cool game in a lot of ways. I do respect the heck out of it. It didn't make my top 25, but I totally understand why it's on there. Hard as nails, but still a lot of fun.
And you can get this one on, I want to say, the eShop for the Wii U.
Yeah, I think it's Wii U and 3DS.
Okay. It's funny. I should definitely get that on the 3DS. It came out just this past summer, so.
Yeah, I haven't bought that because I really don't want any reason to hurl my 3DS across the room and watch it break in half. So
I hear that.
I haven't picked it up yet. Anyway, moving on to my number 19. Hey, it's another great licensed game from Konami. It is Tiny Toon Adventures Buster Busts Loose.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, that's just a really fun, really cool platformer. The main hook in this one is you have this dash button that lets you run up walls.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to run up walls lets you do all kinds of fun, exciting, different platforming techniques. Plus, on top of that, it looks like the cartoon. It sounds like the cartoon. All the levels are parodies of different TV shows and stuff. Like there's a Star Wars parody. There's an Old West parody. And, you know, I probably should have mentioned this last week on our sports episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or my favorite, it's my favorite sports game ever in the fact that the fourth level is a platformer turned into a football game.
Yep.
Where you have to slide under or jump over enemies. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this on the show before, probably when we were talking about our favorite licensed games. So I'm not going to bother going into it any further, but it's a great one. I really, really wish that licensing issues didn't keep it off of Virtual Console, but it's just so darn good.
Yeah, that is a shame. And that I say that for a couple of things on my list here. So I recommend it. It looks great. These 16-bit render, you know, versions of, you know, Buster and Dizzy and Babs and Plucky, and I'm trying to remember all their names. The Dodo, what was his name? I forget.
I don't know.
But
the thing is, I was not actually a Tiny Toon Adventures fan.
Oh, I was. I was a total Tiny Toons nerd. So
I didn't come to this because I love the property or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just came to it because, you know, it was Konami. They make good stuff, and I play it. I'm like, oh wow, this is amazing. So if anything was going to turn me into a Tiny Toons fan, I suppose it would have been this game.
It's a great game. It's Konami, and you can't go wrong.
What's your number 19?
Tiny Toons Adventures Buster Bust Loose. So that was pretty serendipitous. We did not, by the way, I did share this list with Chris, but we did not know what order these were in. That was just random.
All right.
Pick the same game.
I'll move on to number 18 then. I think this is one that would be on a lot of fans' lists. And that is Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars.
Mm. Now, some people call this the best game on the SNES. So you did not rank this very highly.
Well, there's a lot of good stuff, man. There's just so much competition. There's so many games that if I were reviewing these, I would give them like a 9.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being, you know, even at number 18, it's still, you know, I feel like really high up on the list. And it is a really fun game. You know, you got to see your Mario characters in a new light. It was the first Mario RPG. This was before Paper Mario. Mm-hmm. This was before Mario and Luigi.
That's right.
This was kind of where it all started. Plus, it was developed by Square. You know, they went straight to the best. If they were going to make a Super NES RPG, you know, might as well have it done by the company that can do that stuff the best.
Yeah. So, that's kind of crazy that they went with third-party developer for that.
You know, back then, they weren't really doing that with their top-tier characters like Mario mm-hmm. that much. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that was kind of surprising. But it was a great decision because it's a very fun game. You know, it introduced those timing-based attacks
mm-hmm.
that the Mario RPGs are known for,
yep.
sort of adding a new action-oriented twist to the role-playing genre. It was also another pre-rendered visuals game.
Yep.
So, you know, just like you were saying with Donkey Kong Country, it might not look the greatest on a crisp, modern HD set, but it looked really, really cool and made the characters just sort of, you know, pop out in 3D in a way that we had never really seen back at the time. So yeah, really fun game, really great characters, really fun getting to see Mario and Peach and Bowser all on the same team.
Yeah, it had a really good sense of humor too. The writing's really good. And my only big gripe is the isometric like perspective on the game. It's hard to mm-hmm. judge depth, and there are some areas where you have to like actually do some platforming jumps, huh? And it can be very frustrating. There's a certain area that just really bugged the heck out of me, but definitely worth picking this up if you haven't played Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Yeah, it just came out on Wii U Virtual Console pretty mm-hmm. recently, and I did get it, but I haven't really had much of a chance to sit down and replay it, but I would love the opportunity. So what's your number 18?
Kirby's Dream Course, which is
Kirby title.
A weird Kirby title. It is not your standard Kirby title. It is it's mini golf. It's like another isometric perspective game.
No, this should have been on our list last week of best sports games for non-sports
gamers.
Oh my gosh,
we totally missed that one. That's so funny. I don't know how I manage, actually, because I do enjoy this game. It's an easy pick it up and play type game. It's, you know, the courses are inventive. It's easy. You know, you basically have a power meter and you're aiming Kirby and you're basically punting him and trying to make him land in a hole. And there are enemies on the course, and certain obstacles will bounce you, or you can only go one way. And the courses have 3D geometry to them almost, so you can bank Kirby off a wall, or bounce him off a wall, and then shoot him up a ramp and get some air. So it's a pretty ambitious game, and I really like it. It's cute, and this is a game I did not play as a kid. Only came to it later after I dusted off the old SNES.
Yeah, I barely played it myself.
So Kirby's Dream Course is actually on the Wii, the Wii U, and the 3DS Virtual Console. And I just, in doing exercise of listing these games, just found out that it hit 3DS Virtual Console in North America late July. So that was only a couple weeks ago. I had no idea. I am buying that tonight. So that's going to be a lot of fun to play on the go. I think it's a great portable title. It makes even more sense as a 3DS game than it does as a SNES game. So pick that one up if you want a lot of fun, challenging mini golf type experience with Kirby. It's cute.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I've never really played that one that much. I'm sure I played a little tiny bit, but I've never sunk a lot of time into it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe it's one I should go back and re-experience.
Yeah, it's a great game. And I love golf games on Nintendo systems. I think they're really, really good. Even the crappy ones. Even original golf on the NES I played hours of. So
This is a lot better than that, I hope.
Oh, that's a great game. That's a great game.
All right, well, we've been going on about this stuff pretty long, so why don't we take a little intermission, and then when we come back, we'll continue our top 25 Super NES games. All right, we are back, and we are continuing to go down our list of the top 25 Super NES games to celebrate the system's 25th anniversary in North America. We are up to number 17, and the 17th entry for me is Contra 3: The Alien Wars. I'm a big fan of the Contra series as a whole. Love it. It's one of my all-time favorite shooter series. Mm-hmm. And this took everything they did on the NES with Contra and Super C and, brought to the next level. The excellent 16-bit graphics, updated sound, still has two-player simultaneous gameplay. That's one of the hallmarks, one of the best things about it. Mm-hmm. But then they also were able to do all kinds of, neat, cool things with the power of the Super NES, Mode 7 and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody who played it, was so impressed back in the day on that first level when that bomber would fly in and shoot the missiles, and then the ground would burst into flames and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It had some really great, really huge bosses, had that really fun motorcycle level. I guess another thing of note was that it would have those alternating top-down levels, which would, help add variety, help mix things up. And yeah, it was certainly a tough game. It was a challenging game. There was no 30 lives code.
No.
But it was a heck of a lot of fun.
Was this game even remotely finishable? Did it have
difficulty settings at least.
Mm-hmm.
And if you play it in easy mode, then you could probably get through it without too much difficulty. You didn't get the true ending, of course, or see the final form of the last boss, but at least you could do it that way. If you wanted to beat it in normal or hard mode, then you really had to either put in a lot of practice or figure out some sort of cheap way to get extra lives. There were some spots where there were like endlessly spawning enemies.
Okay.
And so if you wanted to, you could stop at one of these points And fortunately, you know, unlike the original Contra, you didn't have to mash the button for every shot. It had automatic auto-fire for your regular weapon, if I recall correctly. So you could just sort of camp out, kill tons of enemies, earn some extra lives, and that would help you get through if you needed to. But really, this is Contra. Contra is known for being hard, and you know, nothing makes up for that more than practice and experience and learning all of those patterns. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was fun. I love playing it with my friends. It is an excellent one. It's on Virtual Console. And it's also on 3DS. You know, because there are so many crazy, you know, patterns and bullets and stuff flying at you, I have actually not picked that one up. I prefer to play it on the TV because, you know, there's a lot to see there. And I figure, oh, if I've got the small screen, I'm kind of going to miss something. So I prefer playing it on TV. But it is there if you want to have some Contra goodness on the go.
All right. Well, I didn't play a lot of that, so I don't have much to say about it. But I do love Contra. So maybe I got to pick this one up.
Yeah, we should get together and play it in co-op sometime. It's a blast.
Deal.
What is your number 17 then?
Okay, I'm going to admit right now that this game is possibly one of the worst games on the system. So why did I put it here?
And why is it number 17?
Let alone here we go. List. Are you ready for this? It's
I don't know.
Okay, it's Roadrunner Death Valley Rally.
I believe that was a cover story of Nintendo Power once upon a time.
That is true. And I'll tell you what,
so it's kind of our fault.
It's awful. It's so bad. I bought it because I am a huge Looney Tunes fan, and the graphics are maybe like top 10 on the system, I think, because they're just...
I remember it did look pretty good, yeah.
Pixel-perfect renditions of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. It's very cartoony. The music's really good, and there's even some... I think there's some synthesized voices in it. So why is it on my list?
Why is it so high on your list?
Yeah, why is it?
You put this above Donkey Kong Country,
I played the heck out of this game. It's hard as heck. The controls are bananas. The Roadrunner is the floatiest son of a gun you'll ever play. And then
it's kind of the one thing I remember about it.
And he's got a super speed mode. So you eat this bird seed. The bird seed is like a power gauge, basically. And you can juice him, making him go super fast, and he moves so fast that, you know, unless you've memorized the level, you're gonna die. And you have two
jump and fly into some pit or something.
You get
like
2 hit points. It's like first hit point is you're half dead, and second hit point is you're dead.
Kind of like Arthur in Goats and Goblins, only you're not losing your clothes.
It's miserably hard. It requires a lot of memorization. It's unforgiving. The platforming is just the fact that you're platforming with the Roadrunner and he's got this floaty jump style that's just, it's like, who the hell? Anyway, play it, see what I mean. but the graphics are gorgeous, and I played the heck out of it. I might have put more hours into this than almost any other game on this list. So that's why it's on my list. Don't buy it on my recommendation. Maybe watch a playthrough on YouTube or something. But yeah, it's a beautiful game. Looks great. Oh, the gameplay is just awful. But yeah, I had fun, and I still play it to this day because of the memories. So I guarantee you there are listeners out there who have crap games on their list of 25 and only there because, hey, you played it as a kid and you love it. I want to hear out there who's playing crappy games like me. Tweet that to me, at Plastic Bugs. Let me know. I want to mock your games.
I guess we should move on to number 16 then, huh?
Yes, do it.
Well, my number 16 is The Legend of the Mystical Ninja from Konami. Another Konami game, another two-player game, another co-op game, another game with some fantastic graphics and sound, in my opinion. This was the character that is known as Goemon over in Japan, and there were, you know, many games released over there. There was stuff on the Famicom, but it never came out over here. But we did finally get this one fairly early on in the Super NES's life cycle, and I thought it was really, really fun. It's got these town sequences where you're running around and you know, just fighting enemies, earning money, and then you can go to shops and do all this sort of action RPG type stuff. And then after that, you move on to these just purely 2D side-scrolling segments where it's just, you know, action platforming bliss, basically. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, running through the stages, making awesome jumps, and, you know, clobbering the enemies with your weird weapons, whether it's a party whistle or a giant flute or a pipe or something. It's a very weird game. Yeah. That's one of the things I should also point out, is it is really, really weird. You know, one of the enemies you encounter at the very beginning of the game is called, like, the Karpmeister. He's just carrying a fish. You hit him once, and he, poof, disappears. And then his fish just flops around the ground. Mm-hmm. And if it hits you, then you take damage. You know, Scott, we played this. We played this in co-op just a couple weeks ago.
I really enjoyed it. I think, honestly, I would only play it co-op. I would only play that co-op, to be honest. But, I don't know, you probably are playing it right now.
Well, I've played through it solo. I've played through it co-op. I mean, co-op can be a little tricky if, you're not both well-practiced at the game. I had some friends who I would try to play it with way back in the day, mm-hmm. and they found it to be really frustrating and didn't enjoy it. But I think it is a really good co-op game. In fact, you can even have one player climb on the other guy's back. So one guy handles attacking and one guy handles maneuvering and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, it's really, really fun. I wish that series had continued on in North America. I mean, there were, of course, a few more. There were a couple entries on the Nintendo 64, mm-hmm. but for the most part, most of that stuff has stayed in Japan, which I think is kind of unfortunate. But yeah, I love it. It's available on all versions of Virtual Console, Wii, Wii U, and 3DS. So I suggest checking it out if you can put up with some weird quirkiness. Mm-hmm. What's your number 16?
Okay, this is a surprise because I did not have this on my list, and then I went back through this afternoon and said, oh my gosh, I'm missing Sunset Riders. Have you played Sunset Riders? Do you like Sunset Riders?
I love Sunset Riders.
Isn't it a great game?
Sunset Riders is fantastic.
I love Sunset Riders. Again, this is a game
It's like Cowboy Contra.
Yeah, it's Cowboy Contra. It's a great shoot 'em up brawl. It's like a brawler, but it's like, oh. Well,
it's definitely a side-scrolling shooter. It's a lot like Contra, but mm-hmm. not quite as intense. It's a little more laid back, which I suppose makes sense for a cowboy game.
The boss battles are really inventive. It's a little racist. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
This one, they changed
the name of the character.
Yeah.
From Chief Scalpum to Chief Wigwam.
Still pretty bad.
Chief Scalpum in the arcade.
Still pretty bad.
They changed it.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it or anything.
Yeah, this is a game, if I have friends over, we play this. We play Sunset Riders. So this is a game I came to late. Like, I didn't play this back when I was a kid. This is mm-hmm. something I came to relatively recently, looking into great shooter style games, and I love shoot 'em ups.
I love this one. I played the arcade version back in the day, so I was really excited for it to come to the Super mm-hmm. Nintendo.
Do you know if it's on Virtual Console now?
It's not. It's like not available in any way. I'm kind of bummed out about it because there was a rumor a long time ago that the arcade version was going to come to Xbox Live, mm-hmm. and that never happened. That would have been awesome because that game is four players in the arcade. The Super Nintendo version is only two. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still great, but it's only two players. So I really would have loved to have like a perfect arcade version on some system. But no, we never got that, and then we never got on Virtual Console. I do not really understand why, because it is a heck of a lot of fun.
It is. It's great. And there's no license. I think the issue is probably that it's racist. But
well, I think the issue is the same as it is with Contra, which is just that
Konami
has a big stick up its butt and for some reason just hasn't made it available.
But
it is really fun. And it's not actually on my top 25.
Oh, really?
A little after that. I love it.
Okay.
But it didn't quite make my mm-hmm, my top 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sad but true.
Great co-op game. That is if you're interested in playing a game with your friends, easy to play. You just have to find it on eBay, I guess.
One of the things I love about the game is the terrible digitized voices.
Yeah, they're not terrible. We were lucky to have those digitized voices.
There were some much, much better voices on the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like Street Fighter II, mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat.
Yes,
lots of other
true.
Konami games mm-hmm. had good voices. But for some reason, these ones and Sunset Riders were just kind of muddled and a little lacking.
A little scratchy.
Something.
A little scratchy.
Like, there's this guy on the first level when you defeat him, and he's supposed to be saying, I mean, the fact that the bosses would talk at all was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to say, bury me with my money. Mm-hmm. And instead, when you beat him, he goes, marry me with my money. So it kind of sounds like he's saying, marry me with my money. But whatever. I did an article on this as a playback in Nintendo Power. Yeah, that was the page we would just talk about some, you know, random classic game. And so we put the sprite of one of the bosses onto the cover of the issue. Mm-hmm. I remember people seeing that and being like, why the hell is there a character from Sunset Riders on the cover of the magazine? I mean, I figure most people wouldn't even know who it was. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty cool that it got any
That's
recognition
awesome.
At all.
Yeah, I like that.
But yes, I certainly approve of that choice.
Great.
Another great Konami one. And oh my gosh, here we go. Another freaking Konami one. Just Konami row here. My number 15, Super Castlevania 4.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, it actually, you know, kind of seems maybe a little low on the list. But like I said, there's just a lot of really great stuff. So yeah, here it is at number 15. You know, Simon Belmont back in action, fighting the forces of evil, fighting Dracula. Mm-hmm. Only this time he's got that multi-directional whip. He can grapple with his whip. He can... you know, spin it around to, you know, knock projectiles out of the air. And then, you know, this was early on in the system's life cycle, so Konami was just doing these crazy things with Mode 7. Like, oh, here's an area where the entire castle rotates 90 degrees or 180 mm-hmm. degrees. Here's a part where you can go from the foreground into the background. Here's a part where it's like you're in the inside of a rolling barrel. I never understood what the heck that part is supposed to be, but you know what part I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Like, why are you in some weird rolling barrel? I don't know, but it looks
I think they were
cool.
Literally going for just cool backgrounds, and it's very wavy.
I think so.
It reminded me of Genesis backgrounds, just because I always thought that the Genesis had a lock on pretty cool moving backgrounds.
Also had really, really good music.
Yeah.
You know, Konami, you know, they could almost never do any wrong when it came to their music. And this stuff sounds spectacular. It had updated 16-bit remixes of all the classic Castlevania main themes from Castlevania 1, 2, and 3. And then it had, you know, the theme of Simon, the new one for this game, is, you know, one of the all-time greats from video game music as far as I'm concerned. So... yeah, that's a great one. It's available on Wii and Wii U, and I expect it to come to North American 3DS anytime now. Hopefully I'm not wrong about that.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. This game on the go with save states is, I think, a great, great purchase. Playing this without save states, kind of hard.
It was a tough game. In fact, that reminds me of back when I was playing it back in the day. You know, like right when it first came out, I kept playing, I kept practicing, trying to get better, trying to beat the game, you know, dying, trying again, continuing, picking up from where I left off. It did have a password at least, so you have to start from scratch every time. But I played it and I played it and I finally got through the tough final levels. I finally defeated Dracula. And then, like, after that, I was like, oh man, feel so relieved. And then I remember I started feeling like real sick afterwards. I'm like, ah, crap. It's the curse of Dracula. The curse of Dracula got me. I was like bedridden for a week.
Oh, no. I have a Rygar story like that. Remind me one time.
But despite that, great game.
All right.
What's your number 15?
TMNT Turtles in Time, which I'm going to guess is somewhere on your list near the top.
It actually is.
Yeah.
I love this game.
So I want you to talk about this game because I love this game. Again, this is another game I played in the arcade. And this is such a good translation of the arcade. Like,
well,
I'm
it's better than the arcade
it
game.
It is.
Man.
It's got more. So tell. Yeah, bring it. Because this is your domain. I want to hear from Chris Hoffman about this game.
Well, I almost feel like I should save it for next week because, spoiler alert, it is not in the games we're supposed to be covering this week. It's actually in my top 10.
All right. So why don't you just give us a little taste and then the next week we'll really dig in.
One of the things I like about the most is that they did add stuff over the arcade game. They add in this entire Technodrome level, which... yeah, the arcade game, it didn't have that. You went through the sewer level, and then it's like, okay, now we're sending you back through time. Like, why? What? That's weird. But in this home version, you go through the Technodrome, you know, the bad guy's base.
Yeah.
So when you defeat Shredder by using some really cool Mode 7 effects. You actually defeat him by throwing the enemies into the screen and scale the enemies, and they like you'll go right into your face, which looks awesome. Yeah. And then he goes, okay, well now I'm leaping through time and I'm banishing you guys through time as well. So I mean, I know narrative isn't really important in this kind of game, but it made a lot more sense than the arcade game where it just sort of happened for no reason. And then on top of that, just a great hook to be able to go to different eras, to go to the prehistoric era and go to pirate era, go to the American Old West. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are no Sunset Riders there in the Old West, but there could have been since it's from Konami. You go to the future, the far-flung future of 2020. We're only 4 years from there now. So
scary.
Get ready. Yeah. Get ready for hoverboards going over giant cities as a giant robotic Krang fights the Ninja Turtles on jet-powered skateboards. It's going to be great. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Set your watches, everyone. Only 4 years away, I believe. And new bosses.
Mm-hmm.
With the Technodrome, they took Razar and Toka, who were some of the bosses on the pirate ship level, and put those into the Technodrome. And then on the pirate ship level, they put in Bebop and Rocksteady. As any Ninja Turtle fan knows, those are like two of the main bad guys.
Yeah.
Like they're the top guys besides Krang and Shredder. And they weren't in the arcade game. It just felt like a big hole that was kind of missing.
For sure.
Why aren't these major characters in the game? But boom, there they are in the Super NES.
So in the arcade, you had a four-player experience, possibly, if you were in the arcade with the giant wide cabinet. But you play this at home with two players.
Right. That was the one thing it was missing. It only had two players
instead
of four.
It'd been nice to do four.
But yeah, obviously that's very hard for the Super Nintendo to do, to run four-player simultaneous gameplay.
Yeah.
Not impossible, but I could see why it would be a challenge for a game like this, especially one that came out back in 1992.
Well, it is a wonderful game. I love it, and I want to hear more about it next week.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites.
Great.
Do you have anything else you wanted to say about it?
No, I mean, honestly, so this game is eShop or no? No, right? No way.
No, unfortunately not.
So,
that's, you know, licensed game.
What? Where can I play it if it's not on eShop and I don't want to buy it on as a cart on eBay? Is it?
Unfortunately,
on
you're just gonna have to come over to my apartment and we will play it co-op mode
here. All right.
Yeah, there's not much you can do about
that. That's a bummer. Ugh.
Yeah,
that's
really
a bummer. I think there needs to be some amnesty for these licensed games.
There actually was an updated version that came out on Xbox,
okay,
and possibly some other systems, but it was called Turtles in Time Reshelled, and it was the same game, but it was completely rebuilt, updated 3D graphics, reprogrammed game engine. If you're expecting the original, you're probably going to be disappointed. It's not bad, but I guess there is that. Of course, that also has, the license has also run out for that one.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can buy that if you don't already have it. So yeah. Those darned licensed Konami games, they can be quite a headache. All right. I guess we should move on to the next one, which would be number 14. And for me, that is Super Punch-Out.
Oh, all right.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the Punch-Out series last week. Not so much Super Punch-Out in general, but, like the other games in the series, it's got that great puzzly gameplay. This one added, new techniques. Some, that power meter is in there, and you can use that to do several different kinds of power punches. And it's got the slightly stereotypical gameplay characters.
Yep.
It's got, I guess this isn't really a stereotypical one. This one's, was a goofy clown. I think he's from Italy or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not quite as stereotypical
like
as other ones.
Pagliacci.
But it certainly personifies the goofy characters in the game.
Yeah.
So you got this big, fat, mad clown guy.
Mm-hmm.
You have Asian martial artists. There's a guy who can kick you in the face as he flies from post to post.
Yeah, who's the guy that spits in your face? What's his deal?
Oh, that's the luchador.
Luchador,
the
that's
Mexican
right.
wrestler,
yeah.
The super buff luchador. Yeah.
Why is he spitting?
Yeah, that was nice. That was kind of cool, though. But he would spin your face, and it would cause the screen to go all pixelated
that was
until
a cool
it wore
thing.
Out.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really neat. Yeah, this is another game where, I mean, I did get it on the 3DS when it came out on Virtual Console, but I find it a lot harder to play on the small screen. I do prefer playing it on a big TV. So Wii or Wii U is the way to go as far as I'm concerned, but it's a lot of fun, And I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
I feel like it's closer to the original arcade and the Super Punch-Out that was in the arcade than the original Mike Tyson's Punch-Out with the power meter.
That's probably fair to say.
And a lot of the same characters, like Canadian Bear Huggers in both of those and a handful of others. But
yeah, I think I want to say the arcade game only had like, what, six different opponents or something? Mm-hmm. And this one has 16. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely ones here that were all original.
Yeah.
But regardless, it's most excellent.
Yeah, like Dragon Chan. Dragon
Chan. Yeah, that's the guy who kicks you. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And he makes those ridiculous fake Chinese noises. Oh, gosh. It's racist. That's okay.
It's stereo.
It's stereotyping. Yes, it's not racist, but it's questionable.
I suppose I should mention the first guy you fight, Gabby J.
Yes.
I forget where he's from. Is he from France?
I don't know. I thought he was from like
he's kind of
Scotland
generic.
Or something. Yeah. He just looks like an old guy.
He's one of my all-time favorite characters just because, he comes out there at the very beginning and they do the introductions and they're like, here's, your opponent,
Gabby J.
Yeah. And he goes, yay. Like the weakest, most pathetic cheer you could possibly make.
Those are some good digitized
Luigi
voices.
Now that I think about it. Super Punch Out, Gabby J, it's all good. Mm. What's your number 14?
Okay, this is another one. Gonna need disclaimer. This is so high on my list. Everyone's going to think.
You could have ranked this number 25 or something. You had to put it on
there. It had to be up there.
I don't even know what game you're talking about yet, but I'm still saying.
I think you know. I think you know if you saw my list. But man,
I don't remember it.
This is going to be bizarre to anyone who's never played this game in the arcade or to who's never even heard of it. It's called Mr. Do. Okay. It's Mr. Do, Taito game.
Well, maybe that's okay.
Mr. Do.
I'm not that familiar with it, but I know the name. At least.
The reason why I love the SNES version of Mr. Do is it's the most faithful version of this very obscure arcade game that I absolutely adored as a kid, as like a 9 or 10 year old. So I used to go down the street to the local police athletic league and put all my quarters into Mr. Do. So. And when you weren't playing it, the dang machine would just play that theme song constantly and it would attract you to it and it would make you want to play it. And even
that's why it's called a track mode.
And track mode was probably the loudest one in that whole little arcade. So great memories, super, super faithful, almost basically feels emulated version of the arcade version of Mr. Do. I don't think there's...
I'm not familiar with it. What does it play like?
So it plays like Dig Dug, basically. You're a little clown.
Okay.
And you are basically... You're kind of like burrowing through this grassy field and you're collecting cherries. And if you collect all the cherries in a grouping in a row, it's almost like a gambling machine. It's got this... like visceral tune that if you collect all the cherries, it plays the whole tune all the way through. So you feel like you have to get them all in a row. Cause if you stop collecting them for a beat, the tune starts over. So you don't get that payoff. And there are, so the monsters can dig through the grass or whatever, the dirt that you're digging through. And
is it doo-doo? Is that why it's called Mr. Do? He's digging through doo-doo?
I don't know. It's funny because the game originally had a different name. I'm trying to remember what the original... Somebody on Twitter, tell me what Mr. Do's original name was. So Mr. Do, just a great arcade version of this game. I love it. I play it on whatever console I can find it on. There's a Game Boy version that's awful. There's a ColecoVision version that's actually pretty dang good. There's an Atari version that's really awful. So if you like Dig Dug, if you like simple arcade game mechanics, it's got a really interesting one-up system where you have to kill these monsters that come out. You have to kill the one, he'll flash a different letter, and after you collect all the letters, it says extra, extra, you get an extra man, and you also clear the level. So no matter where you are in the level, if you collect an extra guy, you move on to the next level. Really fun, super obscure, super high up on my list because, again, I love arcade games, and this was one of my favorites. So, yeah, Mr. Do.
Okay, well, I take back all the negative things I said earlier. I did not know that's what it was going to be, and I have not ever played this one. Mm-hmm. But, if you say it's a good, faithful arcade port, then I will take your word for it.
It may be, like, up there with Ms. Pac-Man as perfect arcade port on the SNES.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on to number 13 now. And for me, that is Soul Blazer.
All right. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Soul Blazer is another action RPG. As I mentioned earlier, it is the predecessor to Illusion of Gaia. And it's sort of a spinoff of sorts from ActRaiser, which I know you are a fan of.
I love ActRaiser. I did not realize that this was a spinoff of ActRaiser.
Yeah, it's by the same dev team. And I, you know, they're kind of coy about it, but I think it is supposed to be set in the same world. What makes it really fun is that as you go through the dungeons and defeat enemies and destroy these monster generators, it makes things appear back in the towns, back in the hub worlds that you visit. So the more enemies you defeat, the more it restores your hub world. It brings back buildings, it brings back people. You go there, and then you can talk to these people and do other things. You'll get maybe a little bit of a side quest or something. You get some more backstory. But just that feeling of going through and restoring the world bit by bit by bit is really, really satisfying. Plus, just the, you know, traditional sword swinging gameplay is really, really solid. You have a good selection of spells, you know, lots of items to find. It's not, you know, completely like a, you know, non-linear world like Zelda. It's broken down into, you know, 7 distinct areas, but you still have to go back and forth to complete some of the quests. And I loved it. I think it's really, really fun. I had a lot of fun, you know, sitting with my friends playing it back in the day. And even though the writing is not as good as Illusion of Gaia, it still had some really, really cool moments that I enjoyed. I think I've talked about it on the show before. In fact, I know I did. Talking about one of the scariest moments I ever had in video games, probably at our last Halloween show, where there's this part with this this dog, these talking animals. You have talking animals. That's another thing about it. It's called Soul Blazer, I guess, because you can, like, you know, see into everybody's soul, and so you can communicate with everybody, be it a plant or a human or an animal. So you have the section where you're talking to this, you know, group of forest animals, and you're at a restaurant and you're talking to this guy. He's like, "Oh, you want to see the menu?" And you can choose yes or no. And if you say no, he's like, "Oh, come on, let me show it to you." You just keep doing that forever. And then if you finally say yes, he goes, "Okay, well, here's today's special. It's you." And I was like, "Oh, crap, what is this going to, am I dead? Game over? Is this it? I haven't saved in hours." But it's just a joke. He's like, "Ah, ha, ha, I'm just kidding." But you know, little quirky touches like that make me love the game a whole bunch. Unfortunately, like Illusion of Gaia, it's not on Virtual Console or anything. Yeah. So just got to hope that one day Nintendo or Enix, or Square Enix, I should say, decides to revive it in some way. But yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. But I still fire up the Super NES and play it that way every once in a while, because it just is that darn good.
It's expensive on eBay. Ooh. I might have to come over to your house.
It's a fun one.
All right.
So it's worth trying out one way or the other. What's your number 13?
13. All right. Super Mario RPG. I put it up higher than you did. Again, this is another one I came to much later. And I think I ranked it this high, not necessarily because I do like it better than those other games, but because I'm such a fan.
It is a really good game.
Yeah, it is a good game. But I'm such a fan of the Mario and Luigi series, and I know this is its birthplace. And so I wanted to put it up high enough on my list to, you know, make sure people definitely check it out if they haven't thought about playing it, because it is fun. The platforming is kind of annoying. It is a long game. My gosh.
It is pretty long.
So you get a lot of bang for your buck. I wish it weren't as long, actually. but yeah, Super Mario RPG. I mean, we talked about it already, and I think deserves a second look if you're looking to go into the SNES back catalog.
Yeah, it's a really, really good one. I completely can understand why you put it in at number 13. Moving on to number 12, then. For me, it is Axelay, another Konami game. This one a little bit more obscure. Everything else has been part of a series. You know, Castlevania, Contra, even Mystical Ninja is part of a series. Or it's been a licensed game. But Axelay is a you know, outer space shooter, and for my money, it's one of the best. It is one of my all-time favorite shooters. It's, you know, one of my top Super NES games, and I just thought it tried some new and different things that no other shooter had done. It alternates between traditional 2D side-scrolling and a Mode 7 faux 3D where you're like, you know, behind the ship going into the screen mm-hmm. type perspective. Mm-hmm. Probably looks kind of dated today, but back then when it came out, man, it was so brilliant. It was like, you know, nothing else that you had ever seen. Before, it was either, you know, a strict horizontal or a strict vertical shooter, mm-hmm. not this whole 3D thing. So it did that really, really beautifully. Plus, it let you select different weapons for each stage. So there was sort of a little bit of a Mega Man thing going on where it's like, okay, which weapons should I use in which situations? Mm-hmm. You could switch between them, and you could choose them at the start of the level, and that added a completely fun and different and new dynamic.
I want to say this game is unfortunately named.
It doesn't have the catchiest name out there.
No, and I'm not. You're right about that. I really honestly wasn't even aware of it, and I love shoot 'em ups, which is kind of like awesome. There's another game I need to check out.
It's also got some of the best bosses ever. I have this one screenshot of the level 5 boss that I've probably shown in, you know, so many different articles just because I'm so fond of this character. But it's this, you know, massive, you know, for Super NES, this massive lava monster, like a half-robot lava monster that, you know, rises up out of the magma. And it's just, you know, huge and tries to squash you with its hands. Mm-hmm. And it looks super, super cool. So all those things, I think, come together to make one of my all-time favorite shooters. If you haven't checked it out and you like that kind of thing, I highly recommend it.
I will. It looks really good. Looks really good. I've never played it.
Yeah, I love it. What's next for you?
I've got a shooter on my list. So UN Squadron, which is
yes.
a great Capcom side-scrolling shoot-em-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the early releases mm-hmm. on the system.
And based on
I
an arcade
game. I played
it
a little
game.
Bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember it that well. So give us the details.
It's a pretty standard side-scrolling shooter, but it's pretty faithful to the arcade game, which I loved. And the mm-hmm. music is really phenomenal. The graphics are some of the best on the system. It's got this anime-style character design for the characters. You can pick one of three ships. They each have their own strengths and weaknesses. You can get money to buy weapons, and if you fail at a level, you don't lose your money, and you get to spend for better weaponry. And so you can actually, you know, buy much, much more powerful weapons, even if you continue to do poorly. Mm. The bosses are really neat. One of them's a stealth ship. The effects are cool. There's like lightning in the sky. One of the bosses is a giant tank with like missile launchers on it. So I think the level design's top notch. It's also kind of this weird thing where you're able to do levels in a different order, and you're pretty much trying to prevent the enemy squadrons from getting to your base. And so you'll see the enemy squadrons advancing, and you can move through this game map and tackle certain areas at different times. But if the enemy squadrons hit your base, you're forced into a specific level type where you're defeating wave after wave of bad guys. The power-ups are a lot of fun. I guess, and it's one of these shoot 'em ups where you're not dying after one hit. You've got a life gauge, which is good for me because I stink at this game, and I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, I remember it being kind of hard. I did play this like right when I first got my Super NES, mm-hmm. but I remember not being able to get very far.
So yeah, I don't get very far either, but I still love it. I still love it.
Well, you make it sound really
cool.
It makes
a cool game.
Kind of want to go back and visit it again.
Yeah, it's a really, really well done port of an arcade game.
All right then. My number 11 is a little RPG called Earthbound.
Oh, wow. All right. Earthbound.
That's right. The quirky, modern-ish day RPG featuring Ness mm-hmm. and his psychic powers and his friends going on their adventure and fighting new age retro hippies and giant puddles of barf and all kinds of crazy mm-hmm. stuff. Obviously, it's not like most other RPGs out there. It's not set in the future. It's not set in some fantasy world. It's just very contemporary. You know, lots of humor, mm-hmm. lots of weird quirkiness going on. Yet it works out really, really well.
Yeah, it's a cute game. I didn't play this as a kid either, and now if you wanted to buy this for the Super NES, on cart form, you'd be paying like maybe a couple $100. So you'll have to.
Oh, yeah. It got really bad.
Yeah, it got really bad. So this is one of those games that people absolutely adored. It's based on the Mother series that...
Yeah, it's Mother 2 in Japan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, this is one that we got, you know, so much mail about at Nintendo Power. You know, people wanting to see the sequel in the mm-hmm. U.S. or get on Virtual Console or get the original game mm-hmm. in the U.S., which it eventually did as Earthbound mm-hmm. Beginnings, talking about the NES title, that is. But Earthbound, Mother 2, you know, is so much better than that NES game mm-hmm. in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually been quite a while since I last played through it, so my mind's going a little bit soft when it comes to some of the details. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do remember really, really enjoying it. And, you know, as all that fan support over the years has proven, you know, it's a very you know, viable, popular RPG, and there's really nothing else like it. So the fact that it did finally come back on Virtual Console... you know, after all this demand and the fact that it came out on 3DS Virtual Console earlier this year, mm-hmm. you know, tells me that Nintendo does want us to have opportunities to play this. And if you haven't done it, I highly recommend you do, because it's pretty darn awesome.
I agree.
So what is your number 11 then?
My number 11 is Super Castlevania 4.
All right.
I put it pretty high up on my list. I think because mm-hmm.
I don't think it's too high, though.
I do love Castlevania quite a bit. And this is
as do I.
A really, really good, fun side-scrolling platformer. It's really good, and it's not impossible. Mm. It's hard, but it's not impossible. You know, it will challenge you, and hopefully,
I call it more of an action game than a platformer.
Oh,
myself.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Certainly, yeah, you got a lot of jumping going
there.
There
is.
You got the jumping, you got the grappling, you got the whipping.
Yeah, and
you got the flying horse.
Yeah, and
heads.
You got the strategic, like, you know, which weapon should I save and use for this boss
your
battle?
Sub weapons.
Yeah, the sub weapons.
Is it the axe. Well, the answer is the boomerang.
The boomerang's amazing. And I believe there might be even like a glitch where if you hit the pause button at the right time, you do like triple damage on the...
I don't think I knew about that.
Yeah, if you pass a boomerang through... correct me if I'm wrong, internet, but I think if you... I've seen a bunch of speedruns
of Mega Man.
But yeah, Mega Man does that too, I think. Yeah, Super Castlevania 4. Highly recommend it, and it's on the eShop, so go pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely a good one. Like I said earlier, that's highly recommended from me as well. Well, with that, I think we had better call it a show. We've gone through our numbers 25 through 11. That leaves 10 more for next week's episode. We've already gone on a really, really long time. So I think we will just take a break here. But before we go, we still have time for a dramatic reading. And this time it is going to be from a Super NES game that is not anywhere on our top 25 titles.
All right.
This will be from the back of the box of Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City. This is no pickup game. It's a twisted adventure created by vengeful mad scientist Dr. Max Cranium. He has kidnapped an entire basketball team, and they're under lock and key in every corner of his dark and dangerous lair beneath the streets of Chicago.
Whole team.
Control Michael Jordan's every move as he takes on the evil Dr. Max Cranium to rescue his teammates. Explore and conquer 24 perplexing levels of fun. Power up with special Wheaties and Gatorade health boosts. Jam the ball into wacky hoops for extra points and power. Awesome end-of-level bosses. Use your best moves against over 20 different bizarre enemies. Torch the enemies with a fireball or chill them with an ice ball. 7 unreal basketball weapons in all. Yeah, weird that didn't make our top 25, huh?
Wheaties and Gatorade?
Yep, we use Gatorade. Product placement, man.
Brought to you by. Oh gosh, whoa! Michael Jordan got some. God, I don't know, man. That sounds awful. That just sounds awful. Have you played this? That sounds like.
I don't remember, but usually when they took sports stars out of their element and decided to make some sort of action platformer game based on them, it didn't usually go very well. So, yeah, that one's not on Virtual Console either. You probably don't need to worry about tracking.
Oh, wow, I'm looking at a playthrough right now. Woof. There are random basketball hoops strewn throughout the levels, and you're dunking for no reason. Oh, man. Wow. All right. I wanted to quickly thank everybody for the nice things you've been saying on Twitter. Thank you for your tweets. I sent out most of the eShop codes for the folks that put reviews on. Again, we're not paying for reviews, but I thought it was so cool that you guys took the time out to write reviews for us. I wanted to give you all a little something. So thank you, everyone. I got a couple more codes on the way. I got to go to Target tomorrow at lunch to get those. So thanks again.
Well, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us for any reason at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the show, it would be swell if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
See you next week.
And that poor dude who got his car smashed in Final Fight.
Oh my God.
We will see you next time.